pass these down? One sheet to all. Okay, so this afternoon we'll be discussing your key. why did they tell me Ruti Cohen?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know, but that's me.
I do the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda.
Thank you very much.
Shavas Aveda.
You really are my shaliach. You get me a nice
and give you keys. You're welcome to join us.
Thanks. I have a dentist appointment.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda.
Now.
Shavas Aveda.
Yeah.
So. I did a mitzvah because I returned to you a lost object. You mazaka me with a mitzvah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bench.
You too.
Shalom, shalom. Okay, we're going to speak about evolution in the Torah, the Parsha of the week. Everyone have a paper, I hope. If you look at Bereshis Hay, the paper, it's one page with two sides. The page that says Bereshis Hay on it. The top line, Bereshis Hay, Vayikra Eshemam Adam, B'yoyim Hi Baram. He called their name on, I'm reading the top line on Bereshis Hay. Vayikra, and he, God, called their name Adam. So Adam is referring to what? Not just to the man, it's referring to the human couple. See the top line, Bereshis Hay?
Yeah.
The topic is, were there cavemen in Gan Eden? But there are cavemen in Gaza today, aren't they? Okay, plenty of cavemen. Well, I don't want to insult the cavemen, but anyway, if you look at the top of the page, it says, Vayikra Shemam Adam. He called their name Adam. So Adam is referring to the first human couple. If you look at the footnote on the bottom of Torah Tamima, where it says Torah Tamima, Vayikra Shemam Adam, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam She'ein Lo Isha, any person that doesn't have a wife, Einoi Adam, is not a complete human being. You hear that? Kol Adam She'ein Lo Isha, the Gemara of Yevamos tells us, says he called their name Adam. If a person is not married, he's not considered what? An Adam. You hear this? Mm-hmm. A person, in order to be a complete human being, has to find what? His better half. That's what it says over here. Okay? Now it says, Kol Adam Shein Lo Isha Ein Adam. Doesn't say nothing about the woman. The woman is complete even on her own. Amazing concept. Women are complete even on their own. It's the man who's incomplete unless he what?
Married.
Married, and therefore it says, Vayikra Shemam Adam. Any person that's not married is not a nishka mensch. Incredible. Because Isha's gematria musar. Maybe I do need the board. The board is gone. Yeah. Isha's gematria musar. It's here. Do we have any chalk?
No, he doesn't use chalk. No.
Forget it. Okay. Isha gematria musar. Aleph shin hey in Hebrew. Wife. What? Is you mind getting it? Chalk? Or whatever. Isha gematria musar. In Hebrew, the way you spell wife, Aleph Shin Hey, is right. Wife, has the same numerical value as the word Musar. Musar means rebuke. It's the job of a wife to rebuke her husband.
Sorry, what does
rebuke mean? Rebuke means to give him constructive criticism.
Yeah, okay.
Constructive, right.
So Gematria is one of the levels of the Oral Torah. Gematria. When one word has the same numerical value as another word, it means that they're strongly connected. So the word Isha in Hebrew is the same numerical value as the word Musar. Okay?
How can it have the same value? What is the value? The same weight?
Okay, you good in math? Aleph, Shin, Hey. Aleph is how much?
One.
Shin is 300.
Right.
Hey is 5. What is the total? 306. The word Musar, Mem and Vav, is how much? 46. Samach is 60. How much is 46 and 60? And Resh is 200. The same numerical value. The word Isha, if you have it on the board, you can see it clearer. But the word for wife in Hebrew has the same numerical value in letters as the word rebuke. That's the job of a wife to criticize her husband. And therefore the Torah says, Ezer Kenegdo, I will build, what does God say? I will create the woman to be a helper against him. So the Talmud asks the question, it doesn't seem to make sense. If she's a helper, how is she against him? Ezer Kenegdo, the wife is supposed to be a helper against him. If she's against him, how is she helping him? So what's the answer? She helps him by being against him, by pointing out his flaws, by smoothing over his rough edges. That's how she what? She helps him. So she helps him by being against him. Only a wife can give constructive criticism. He won't take it from anybody else. So a wife helps the husband by being against him. Thank you. By being against him, but in a proper way, you know, in a, thanks.
Thanks. Let's go the other way, Rabbi.
What? I'll help you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, Isha, Aleph, Shin, Hey in Hebrew. Aleph is 1, Shin is 300, and Hey is 5. Equals how much?
306.
306. That's how you say wife in Hebrew. Musar. Mem Vav Samach Resh. Musar means to rebuke in a constructive way. Mem is 40, Vav is 6, Samach is 60, and Resh is 200. How much is that?
306.
Koinky dinky?
No.
No. Medai?
Okay, so Isha, Gematfei Musar, thank you so much. It's so helpful. Oh, you're wonderful.
Medai?
Yes.
I hope it does.
Yeah, it does. It. Yeah.
The different spelling between Isha and Isha, the yut and the hay.
Excellent. Excellent. So here, you have it down, Isha?
Yeah.
Gematria Musar?
Yeah.
Okay, now, what you're saying, how do you say husband in Hebrew?
Ish.
Aleph Yud Shin. That's husband.
Yes.
It's a fire.
One second. How do you say wife? Isha.
Isha.
So the Talmud says in Sanhedrin,
the Yud and the Hay.
If God is present in the marriage, Ish is a Yud. Isha is a Hay. That's God's name. If people live according to the Torah, then God is present. But if they don't live according to the Torah and God is not present, then the marriage turns chas v'shalom into what?
Ish.
A consuming fire. So Ish v'Isha, if they live according to the laws of the Torah, then the Yud and the Hey are present. Then God is present in the marriage. But if they don't live according to the ways of God, then God takes a hike. And all that's left, Nebuch, is what? Is fire. Okay? Constructive. Destructive fire.
Baal
means husband, right?
Father Ish and Isha can be any human being.
Yeah,
women.
You're right. Baal in Hebrew means husband, but Ish is a more loving term. There are two ways to say husband in Hebrew. Baali or Ishi. Baal, husband, means he dominates me. Ish means we're lovey-dovey. Ish is a much more lovey-dovey term than Baal. Even in classical Hebrew, not only in biblical Hebrew, but in classical Hebrew, even today, Baal means husband, but a husband in a dominating way. Get me this, get me that. Why don't you make me steak tonight? What is it, sardines? Ish means a loving husband, a considerate husband, giving to the wife. So therefore, in Hebrew, you say both ways, and Ish is the one when you want to convey love the husband has for the wife. So Ish v'Isha is Yud and the Hey. That's God's name is present there. So let's move on here and get to the topic of evolution. Where is evolution found in the Torah? If you go back to the sheets, Pasuk Gimel. You see Pasuk Gimel on top,
yeah,
where it says Bereishis Hey, says Vayechi Adam Shloshim Ashana. Adam lived 130 years. Vayoled bit Musso Ketzalmo, and he gave birth to a child according to his image and according to his form. V'yikwa shemo Shet. And he called that son Shet. After Adam and Chava had Cain the Hevel, they had a lover's quarrel. And Adam walked out on her, or she threw him out. After 130 years, he came back, and he gave birth to Bidmusai Kitzalma. He gave birth to a child according to his image and Selem, and he called this son Shed. So look at this incredible Gemara. If you look at the footnote where it says Torah Temima, we have the arrow. Vayoled Bidmusai Kitzalma. What does that mean? Only after 130 years did he give birth to a child according to his image. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. I'm reading right here. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Kol osem hashanim shaya Adam arishon binidui. For 130 years, Adam was binidui. His wife kicked him out. She had nothing to do with him. So, where did he go? Holid ruchin sheidin velilin. He gave birth to these creatures. Shenem avichi Adam shloshim hashana vayolet givinusek et salmoy. Miklal, only after 130 years did he have a child according to his own image. But during the 130 years when they had a lover's quarrel, he was living with these human-like creatures, giving birth. Only after 130 years when Chava took him back, did he give birth to a child, Bidmuso Kitzalmo. Look at the incredible Rambam over here. We see the footnote. It says Rambam Bemorah Nevuchim at the bottom of the page. You see that?
Yeah.
Where my finger is? Mm-hmm. So the Rambam says something incredible on this Gemara. A Rambam Bemorah Perik Zayin. I'm reading right over here. Be'er Inya Godazu. What does this Gemara mean? The Hakavana. Shehoilet Ruchin Sheidim Elilin. What does the Gemara mean that for 130 years he gave birth to these creatures? Hainu rak gufim hadoimim la'anoshim. These creatures had human bodies. They looked like people, avol b'lo das hashlama, but they didn't have the tzelem elohim. Ukemo ha'kofim. And just like, what is kofim in Hebrew?
Monkeys.
So the Rambam already in the Moreh Nevuchim, this got him in a lot of hot water. One of the reasons the Moreh Nevuchim was banned, because the Rambam wrote about cave people that lived before Adam and even during Adam's time. They looked human, and they looked like apes, but they didn't possess the Tzelem Elohim. And for 130 years, Adam was hanging out with these cave chicks or whatever. After 130 years, look at the text again, V'chi Adam Shloshim Ashana. Only after 130 years, does the pasuk say, did he give birth to a child, Bidmuto Kitzalmo. Rav Nachum, you see, Bidmuto Kitzalmo. What does that mean? That the child, Sheis, had the Tzelem Elohim, implying that the other children that he had, without Chava, did not have the Tzelem Elohim. Did not have the Tzelem Elohim. You hear this? So the Rambam says that here the Gemara is talking about that there were these cave-like creatures roaming the earth before Adam and even during Adam's time. And Adam actually mated with these women. And only after 130 years did he come back to Chava, and only then did he give birth to a child, Kitzalmo, implying that the other children that he had did not possess the Tzelem Elohim. Yes. So I'm going to talk about that. I'll talk about that, what the Ramban says. It's incredible over here. The Ramban is saying, and Rav Kook speaks about this, and let me tell you what the Svarno says. One of the great Mishonim, he says, the creation of Adam was the end of a long process that started with an animal which gradually evolved until this creature was given the Tzelem Elohim. You hear? What made Adam and Chava unique, says Nachmanides, they received the godly image. And that took place 5,770 years ago. These cave-like people could have been around for who knows how many years. But Nachmanides says that what took a change in 5,770 years ago, God took one of these creatures and he gave them a Tzelem Elohim. So man as we know him is only 5,770 years old. But again, here the Rambam and Nachmanides are speaking that these creatures were roaming the earth who knows how long before Adam. And even during Adam's time, they were these creatures. And they looked human, but they did not possess the Tzelem Elohim. You hear? And Rav Soloveitchik said something amazing. Rav Soloveitchik, Shabbos night, he would give a shiur in Boston for hundreds of people. And he said the following statement. He said, you meet a human monster like a Stalin or a Hitler or a Pol Pot or a Genghis Khan that have no shred of human sympathy. He says they are probably the offspring of Adam when he mated with these cave women. Because keep in mind, Ramban says the Mabul did not affect Eretz Yisrael. The Mabul destroyed the entire world. But Nachmanides says that anyone or anybody living in Eretz Yisrael was not destroyed by the Mabul. So Rav Soloveitchik said, when you meet a human monster with no shred of human sympathy, it's probably an offspring of Adam with one of these cave women. They don't have a Tzelem Elohim. They look human, but they don't have the godly image. And this is what Rav Soloveitchik actually said based on this Rambam over here. They look human, but they don't have the Tzelem Elohim. And therefore, they act like human monsters. Okay, now, if you turn over the sheet.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Rabbi?
What?
What happens with the Hashara that Adam was created from Adama?
And Adam was
evolving from a creature before him.
Well, the Ramban says, and Svarno, that God took this creature. Now, how long did it take from the Adam to get the Nefesh Chaya? The Torah says God created the man, Ofer Min Hadama. And then he gave him the Tzelem Elohim. So Nachmani says, who knows how long it passed from that creature, the Svarno says, that creature, to receive the Tzelem Elohim, we don't know how long that took. But only when that creature received the Tzelem Elohim, then the clock began ticking for our count of 6,000 years. Because man as we know him, with the intelligence and the godly image, that's only 5,770. And scientists would agree that man as we know him today is only 6,000 years old. The Neanderthal man could have hundreds of thousands of years ago. That does not contradict the Torah. Because that's not Adam. Because that creature didn't have the Tzelem Elohim. Only when that creature received the Tzelem Elohim did the calendar begin as far as we are concerned. That's what Ramban says. Rabbeinu Sforno says that. Rav Kook says something amazing. He says something amazing. He says that we know whatever is true in the physical world is only a manifestation of the spiritual world. He says God used evolution in the spiritual progress of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was in Memtes Shadei Tuma. We were in 49 levels of Tuma, and we evolved. From 49 levels of Tuma, we evolved over time to 49 levels of Kiddusha. So the Rav Kook says, got him in hot water with the Hasidim also. Just like God used evolution in the spiritual progression of Am Yisrael, God also used evolution in the physical process of creation as well. Because whatever it's true in the physical world is only a manifestation of what's going on in the spiritual world. So we evolved. Everyone agrees. We evolved from 49 levels of impurity to 49 levels of purity over time. So we evolved spiritually. We also evolved physically. So says the great Rav Kook. And if you turn the sheet over, this is something incredible. If you turn the sheet over, I photocopied this from the Tiferet Yisrael. You see that? When it says sheet number one, the other side of the same paper, it says in Bereishis Aleph, on top of the paper, Vayivra Lakim es Ataninim Agdolim. God created the great reptiles, the giant reptiles. What are the giant reptiles?
Dinosaurs.
The Pasuk says clear, Genesis 1, verse 21, Vayivra Lakim es Ataninim Agdolim. God created giant reptiles. A dinosaur is a giant reptile. So here you have an open verse. Now, what I copied over here is from the Tiferet Yisrael. Anyone who learns Mishnayot cannot learn Mishnayot without the Tiferet Yisrael. He is a super commentary on the Mishnah. And he wrote this in the year 1845. Now, this is from a manuscript, because if you look in the Mishnayos today, this page mysteriously has been what?
Wiped
clean. Some zealot was upset with the Tiferet Yisrael because he writes about evolution over here. And this page, if you look at the Mishnayos today, it's missing, mysteriously censored. So this is in a manuscript, Danzig, Germany, the year 1845, when this rabbi, who is a superstar of commentaries on the Mishnah, but some people were upset that he wrote about evolution, and they tore this page. You will not find this in the modern Mishnayot, even though you'll find all of his commentary. You'll find it in the Mishnah, but this page mysteriously was kidnapped, hijacked. So let's read this page together, and you see why it got many people upset. Many people were very upset about this. We're going to begin where the check is. See, I have a check there. Mm-hmm. It says, V'kvar yodanu ma'atzmot chaya naki achat. He's writing this in the year 1845. We already know of the bones of this giant creature. Shenimtsa ba'emek eretz saviv ir Baltimore ba'America. He says, you see, ir Baltimore ba'America. He's writing this in Germany, in Danzig, in 1845. He says, in the city of Baltimore. What's Baltimore? Baltimore in America, they found these huge bones. Asha archa yudzayin regel. It's 17 feet long. The gevoa regel, and he gives the dimensions, how big it is, and then I'm skipping a little bit. Then it says the Gambi Europa. You see, it says the Gambi Europa. Also in Europe, ubo aretz gevargia nimtza b'aminke aretz. You find in the depths of the earth, atzamoy zota chaya, the bones of this creature. Surim achas heino, scattered. V'kora b'shem l'chol min chaya kazot, mammoth. Mammoth. Yeah. See the word mammoth?
Yeah.
Mammoth. You see mammoth with a patach under the olive? Next paragraph. V'chein motzu min bria avniut, a fossilized creature. Shekora, see the next word? Ichvakadon. Ichvakadon, I don't know what that means. Shagavoa tezvov regel. It's 15 feet tall. V'orcha atzadik regel. And it's 90 feet long. You hear this? He's describing Jurassic Park or T-X Rex. Here, this great tzadik was faced with the fact that these giant creatures existed They found a skeleton 90 feet long. You hear what he's saying over here? So what's where are these creatures? Where do they come from? And then he goes on to describe some of these creatures are carnivorous and others only eat vegetation. Remember, he's writing in the year 1845. He never went to college. This great tzaddik, the Teferet Yisrael. Look at the next paragraph where it says, Umekol. Yep. Umekol Amur. Bakasha. How did you know I was going to be here? Where's Ellie? To you, it's still Yantar, right?
Yeah.
My sister, Chaya. She's still keeping Yantar. For her, it's still Yantar. So don't give her a cell phone. Okay, look at the paragraph over here where it says Mikol. See my finger, it says Mikol Ha'omor Nirer Boru. From all what I said, it is clear. Shekol Masha Masvalonu Amikibolim. Who is he quoting? In Mikibolim, he's quoting over here Sforno, he's quoting Nachmanides, Rabbeinu Bachya, who all speak about what? Evolution. Ze kama meot shanim, the mikabolim from hundreds of years ago, shekva hoya olam pam echad. You see my finger? This world already existed once. Vishuv nechrav. And God destroyed. There was worlds on this earth, who knows how many millions of years ago, which was destroyed. V'chazar, and God rebuilt the worlds. Ze arba pamim. He says, we're now in the fifth cycle. There was four cycles before Yiddish. Listen to this. Shekol pam. This is the punchline over here. See my finger here? Shekol pam olam hit gale b'tshleimus. Each time when God creates the world, it develops more completely. Yetera yote mimatchila. He's describing evolution over here. So each time that God creates the world again, and he says we're now in the fifth creation, each time the world develops, evolves more completely than what? Before. The one before. Here. Now, look at the very last sentence he says here. V'tamnu achai. Believe me right now, he knew this is going to shock a lot of people. He knew this is going to freak out a lot of people. Now remember, he is the superstar. No one can learn Mishnah without him. You ask anyone, Satmer, Klosenberger, Misnagid, Lutvak, they all agree that the Teferet Yisrael is the authoritative commentary on Mishnah. So when this came out, it made a tremendous upheaval. So much so, Werner, that they censored this. I got this from a manuscript. Danzig 1845. Now look what he says here on the bottom. He says many people won't believe him. Look at the very check. You see that at the bottom?
Yeah.
Vitaminu achai. What does that mean?
Believe me, my brothers.
Shesod hanifla. What does sod hanifla mean?
The secret
of this wondrous idea hazeh nichtav be'er hetev. I'm not telling you anything new. This is already written be'er hetev. Beparsha rishona. If you read carefully, Bereshis chapter 1, he says the secret of evolution is already in Bereshis. Everything is contained in the Torah. Ki eim kol chaya. The Torah is the mother of all living beings. So here you have the great commentary, Teferet Yisrael, saying that God used evolution to create the world. Now, to say that God didn't use evolution, how dare we limit God? God can use any method that he chooses. Evolution is just a tool that he could have used, like any tool that he uses. By saying that evolution, that he didn't use evolution, are you chas v'sholom limiting God, saying he couldn't have used evolution? How dare we say that? So this is what he's saying over here, that God used evolution. There were these dinosaurs in previous civilizations, and the bones are found here from who knows how many millions of years ago, because God just kept creating and what? Destroying on the same planet until he finally what? Until he finally got to this world. So what's the point? What's the point for us?
Why would they feel threatened if it's written in the Torah? The people that are against the...
I'll tell you how threatened they are.
So why would
Let me tell you, Panina, you're not going to believe this. There was a product, a Milky product, and there was a picture of a dinosaur on the Milky product. They took off the hashgacha. I'm not joking.
I know they did.
They took off, Dino the dinosaur was on a Milky product. The Haredim took off the hashgacha. So obviously they wouldn't agree with the Tveris Yisrael. Some people say, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. But dinosaurs are a fact.
But you're saying it's in the Torah, so it's...
It's in the ground. These huge bones, where do they come from?
Yes. What? So why don't they insert it back today?
Why don't they put it back? No, maybe it'd be your project to put it back. Yeah, I made copies.
Let them see the
stick
light.
It back in. What?
Let them see the light.
God, I want to see
well, they saw it then and they took it out. It wasn't a matter of seeing the light.
You will not find it in any Mishnayos today. You will not find this Tiferet Yisrael. All the other stuff is there. This page is missing. It was torn out by a zealot. The guy who's not buying the Milky products anymore. I don't know, but it's missing. But anyway, I'll show you something amazing. The Noam Elimelech, one of our ancestors, you know Noam Elimelech was one of our ancestors, he says something amazing. The Noam Elimelech, the great mystic in Mekubal, many people go to his grave in the Ukraine, he says something amazing. He says, he quotes the Medrash that he's quoting, that God created worlds and destroyed them. Until he got to this world. In this world, he said, Tov, or Tov Me'od. Mm-hmm. You hear? Yeah. This world is good. So he says, Pela Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a Pele. We have to experiment. But God didn't know it's not going to work out. He says, gee, this is not good. He destroyed all of these giant TX Rex, too big. Until finally he got to this world, and he said, Tov Me'od. So Noam Elimelech asked the question, how could it be that a Kodesh Baruch Hu writes about himself that what? That he failed? God forbid. Yeah. It didn't work out? Gee, no, this is no good. Only when it gets to this world does it say in Genesis 1, Tov Ma'od. But all the other worlds were a failure. How could God, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Ariella, thank you. So how could God write that about himself? So he says something amazing. There's a pasuk in Mishle that the tzaddik will fall and keep getting up. You hear? Sheva yipal tzaddik become. He says God loves mankind so much. Everyone fails. The person fails, he might get down on himself. He might fall into yiush and despair. I can never do better. It's over. God loves man so much. To give man chizuk and courage, God is willing to write about himself that he, kaviyochel, also what? I don't want to use the F word. Failed. But he does it to give man hope. God said, I started over. I was not discouraged. If I could do it, you can do it, my child. The Noam Elimelech says how much God loves a human being, that he's willing to write about himself, that things didn't work out as he planned, even though he knows it's not going to be like that. He did it on purpose, because he knows we all fail, in order we should not be too hard on ourselves. If you first you don't succeed, try again. Hashem is teaching us that. That's how much God loves us. That's what the Noam Elimelech says. That every yerida could be a tzorech aliyah. There are no shortcuts. A yerida le tzorech aliyah. If the Jews wouldn't have gone down to Mitzrayim and been in Memtesh Shari Tuma, they never could have gotten the Torah. First, a person has to fail. You ask all the great businessmen, you know? I read an article about that. The millionaires, they all failed. He said they learned so much from the failure. If they wouldn't have failed, they never could have reached the success. If that's true in the physical world, how much is more true in the spiritual world? V'mokim shebala tshuva omed, afilat tzadigoma lo yochalamod. Where bal tshuva stands, an FFB can never reach there. Every yirida could be the tzorech, you make the call, yirida la tzorech aliyah, that are going down, is for the purpose of going up. You put a seed in the ground, rega, what happens to the seed of over in the ground?
Grows.
It rots. Doesn't the seed rot in the ground, and then
dead.
Grow?
Dead.
The seed rots, and then what grows? A beautiful
Fire.
What? Tree, a plant, or wheat, but first the seed has to rot.
The butterfly.
The butterfly and the caterpillar, right? The caterpillar crawls into a cocoon. What's a cocoon? It's a grave.
Yep.
Decomposes. And out come, ask any, you know, in high school, they never, a cocoon is a grave. It's interesting that the Jewish people are called Talat. The Jewish people are called, King David and Isaiah calls the Jewish people Talat, which means caterpillar. Now, isn't that strange? You call me an eagle, a bear. Why does King David and Isaiah call us caterpillar? Because caterpillar contains the secret of resurrection of the dead. The caterpillar crawls into a womb, decomposes in there, and out comes a butterfly. So, pi Kabbalah, that's why David and Isaiah call us to last. Because the caterpillar teaches us that a person who dies, he really doesn't die, he's just undergoing a metamorphosis. When the time comes, he will arise out of the grave like the caterpillar and the butterfly. And therefore the Jewish people are called Talat. Talat in Hebrew means a caterpillar, yes?
Is this story the same, or is there a connection with the pro professor Adam Katman?
With what?
With the story you told about God made very more worlds and he destroyed
them.
And then the last world, this world, is this
this world
same
is says 12
world? Is this the same world from the Bro Professor and the Adam
It's the
Katman?
Same physical planet. The location is the same. So therefore you're finding these bones that are millions of years old. They are millions of years old.
Mm-hmm.
But 5770 is talking, as far as we're concerned, when the creature received its Tzelem Elohim. That took place 6,000 years
and
ago.
That's the same.
Scientists would agree.
And
we have no quarrel with science. These ancient bones, they could have been millions of years old. But that doesn't concern us, as we are counting the world that pertains to us. When the creature received the godly soul, that took place about 6,000 years ago.
But when he crashed the world, made this world,
destroyed.
Is it the same moment the broken vessel of Adam Kadmon?
Adam Kadmon?
With the Neshamot. And we have to
scatter the sparks,
yes,
to gather the sparks.
In this world.
Okay.
That's my question.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Do you have the answer?
I don't have the answer. No. I don't have the answer to every question. You know, Rashi in his Perush, who was the greatest rabbi? Rashi in his Perush, 72 times throughout Tanakh and Talmud, 72 times Rashi writes, Ani lo yodea. What a great man. Now, many times Rashi will skip and won't say anything. So 72 times in Tanakh and Talmud, you don't know, so you don't have to comment. A lot of psukim and a lot of quotes in the Talmud, Rashi doesn't say anything. So if Rashi didn't know Menachem, how come he has to write Ani lo yodea 72 times? Why? Beautiful. Because if he wouldn't say anything, when Rashi doesn't comment, that means nothing is bothering him. He only comments when something is bothering him. If he wouldn't say anything, you might think that what?
It wasn't important.
That nothing is bothering him. But he comments, help! I don't know. Even when he doesn't know, he's teaching. Don't be ashamed to say you don't know. The greatest Rashi stands for Rabban Shel Yisrael. He is the master of Israel. And he says 72 times in his works, I don't know. And if he wouldn't say anything, Verna, we would be misled. Nothing is bothering him. But Rashi's too honest. Help! I don't understand. Maybe someone out there can help me. Never be ashamed to say you don't know. All the great, it's a Rashi does it more frequently. But the Ramban, they also write many times. Lo yadei. That's a sign of a great person. Not ashamed to say, and even when you don't know, you're teaching, don't be ashamed to say you don't know. Okay? So let's move on over here. It's amazing. Thanks to Aviva, we have the board. I'll show you something amazing. The first word, Bereshit. Bereshit. You don't have it on your sheet. It's Genesis 1:1. Okay? The Zohar quotes the verse, Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem. Reshit Chachma, it's a pasuk we say every morning when you wake up. Reshit Chachma, the chief of all wisdom is Yirat Hashem, is the fear of God. So the Zohar says the word Reshit is related to the word Chachma, because King David in Psalm 111 puts them together. Reshit Chachma. So the Zohar says that the word, how did God create the world? B'chachma. B'chachma means what? Wisdom. How do you spell Chachma? How do you spell Chachma? Right?
Yes.
Reishis Chachma, Psalm 111. Says the Zohar something amazing. 2,000 years before Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein says that the universe created E equals M, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's forget that. That's what Einstein says. But the Zohar says, listen, you see the word Chachma? The Zohar says the word Chachma is an acronym. You know what an acronym means?
Yeah.
FBI. NYPD. LAX. What? The Zohar says that the word Chachma is an acronym. Listen to this. 2,000 years before Einstein. It's an acronym of Koach. Chof. Chet, kaf. Rearrange it, you get the word koach, right? Koach, ma. What does koach mean in Hebrew?
Strength.
Koach means energy. What does ma mean in Hebrew? Mazeh. What's the matter? Get it? Mazeh, what's the matter? The Zohar says God created the world. B'chachma. B'koach ma. God converted energy into matter. Isn't that 2,000 years before Einstein? Chachma, koach, energy. Power means energy. Ma, maze. What's the matter? Maze, what's the matter? Get it? Matter. So E equals M, 2,000 years. Maybe Einstein studied the Zohar. He was brilliant. Einstein believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
You have koach. So God used koach. First he created energy, and then he created what?
Matter.
It's exactly what the scientists say. Further than that, the word shamayim. The word shamayim. You have it down?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The word shamayim. This is really unbelievable. Now the Ramban, writing in the year 1265, mm-hmm. He says the word shamayim. It says God created first Shemayim. God created Shemayim. So the Medrash says Shemayim. Shemayim is again acronym of Eish Umayim.
Yep. Yeah.
Look at the word Shemayim. It's again NYPD or LAX. Eish Shin Aleph Shin. You only the Aleph. Eish Umayim.
Fire and water.
The Ramban is saying that first God created the nebula, the cosmic soup. All scientists today say that. He said in the year 1265 that God first created Eshumayim, which means a fiery liquid gas,
mm-hmm.
which scientists today are calling nebula. And the Ramban says the Eshumayim evolved into the universe. He used the word evolved, it galeh, developed. Now who knows how many millions of years that took? And he says, no, the 6,000 years is when this creature got the godly soul. But who knows how many eons could have passed. They don't teach you this in yeshiva. But this is what the Ramban is writing in Bereishis in the year 1265. Incredible. We have nothing to fear from science. Ha-folk-ba, the-kul-ba, everything is in the Torah. So he says, Shemayim, Eish Shemayim, that's the cosmic soup that we call the nebular, and that, he says, evolved into the zillions of galaxies. And he says, who knows how many days took place. He says something amazing. It can't mean days. It was evening. It says it was evening and morning.
Mm-hmm.
One day.
Yeah.
He says, how could it mean days when the sun was not created, the Ramban says, until Yom Revi. The sun was not created until Yom Revi, until the fourth day. So obviously it can't mean a day the way we think. The Ramban says the days were six periods or stages of creation. You hear what he says?
Evolution.
Speaking about the guided evolution. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guiding the steps of evolution until man made the scene. But our luach, our calendar begins when Adam receives the Tzelem Elohim. But the Ramban says the evolution process is guided and controlled by Kodesh Baruch Hu. That evolution was just a tool that God used. And the Torah has nothing to fear from science. Nothing at all. Now, Yehuda Halevi, the great philosopher, the Kuzari, said something amazing. He says, he proves evolution from the davening on Yom Kippur. On the davening on Yom Kippur is not that long ago. Yom Kippur davening, he says, we say, Ubechein tein pachtecha, you God, place your awe. And the prayer says, Al kol ma'asecha, on all your handiwork. Handiwork. Then lamecha, then your nation. And finally, tzadikim. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says that God designed evolution, listen to this, to bring forth the highest essence of the human being. First, handiwork, then your people, and finally, tzaddikim, who represent the purest essence of humanity. Isn't that amazing? And again, we said Rav Kook speaks about it. Rav Kook, he mentions that the word hateva, again, you have a numerical, the gematria, he says that just as a nation of Israel evolved spiritually from 49 levels of impurity to 49 levels of purity, so too did God use evolution in the physical process of creation, because our physical world is only a reflection of the spiritual world. He says the word hateva. Hateva. How do you say nature in Hebrew? Hateva. It's not. It's a pharmaceutical company, no? Hateva. Hateva. In Hebrew means nature, right? What's the numerical value of Hateva? Hey is 5, Tes is 9, Bez is 2, Ayin is 70. Who's good in math? I was never so good in math. It's 86, isn't it? 86, right? 86, right? How do you say Elohim in Hebrew? I didn't want to write it out. Elohim with the hey. Aleph Lamed is how much? 31. So I write it out, but I don't want won't be able to erase it, right? Unless I make a dash. Aleph is 1, Lamed is what? 30, right? Elohim, God's name. So I'm going to make a long line over here, so it's going to be interrupted. Okay, how do you write God's name? Elohim, right? Hey is how much? 5, right? Yud is how much?
10.
Yud is 10, right? And Mem is what? 40. What does that equal? Elohim, God's name.
86.
Kawinki dinky? Right? 31 and 5 is how much?
36.
10?
86 total.
Menachem, is it kowinky dinky?
Yes.
No kowinky dinky, I don't think so. The word hateva, nature equals God. There is no such thing as nature. That's only an illusion. Nature is Elohim. Now we say nature in modern Hebrew means hateva. But what does teva really mean in Hebrew? Toveya beyam. What does that mean? Submerged. God is submerged in nature. Peekaboo. See, we say hateva means nature, but anyone who knows Hebrew knows the word teva means to be submerged. Elohim is submerged in nature. He's hiding. Our job is to what? Peekaboo.
To
find him. Hide and seek. Hateva. We say nature, but that's only an illusion. And nature is Elohim. Incredible. Gematria is one of the four levels of the Oral Torah. It's Gematria Elohim. Pretty amazing, huh? Ateva. Our job is to uncover him. Because God has to hide, otherwise we would have no free will. So God has to wear the mask of nature. Mother Nature, Mother Nature, Mother Nature. That's a smokescreen. But otherwise, we would have no free will. We'd all be like robots. God doesn't want robots. He wants partners. Right? Any questions, comments? Please.
The number 49 that we were talking about, can you repeat that?
The 49. The Rav Kook says that just like the nation of Israel evolved spiritually from 49 levels of impurity to 49 levels of purity, the Medrash Talmud speaks about that.
And they got the Torah?
Until they got the Torah. They evolved. Over 7 weeks, God speeded up the evolution process.
Right.
He says the physical evolution takes much longer. Takes much longer. So too that God used the physical process of evolution in the physical creation as well. But he said that took much longer. Okay. But just proving the point that whatever is true in the spiritual world is certainly true in the physical world as well. Any other questions?
You were talking about the five worlds.
This is the fifth. Some say it's the seventh. There's a machlokis in the Kabbalah whether this is the seventh world or the fifth world. But it's certainly not the first world. And the purpose that God writes about himself, that created all these worlds, and he said this is good, is to give a person courage.
Right.
That if you fail, don't get down on yourself. God says, look, I started over. I was not discouraged. If I can do it, my child, you can do it. So God loves man so much, he's willing to write about himself that things didn't work out the way he planned to give us courage. No one should get down on himself. If God says, I can start over and I wasn't discouraged, then you can do the same thing. Everyone fails in life. Everyone makes mistakes. How do you handle afterwards? Are you going to nurse your what? Become an alcoholic? Or are you going to what? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps? Hashem says, show me what you're made of. Roll up your sleeves and get busy. If I can do it, you can. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Shkoach.
I keep this.
Chaya, what's happening? How was Yom Tov? Tell me. How was